Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. It's part of our partnership with KWBU-FM. The show airs each Friday morning at 11 on 103.3 FM and is available online at baylor.edu/connections. I'm your host, Eric Smith, and our guest today is Dr. John White. Dr. White is an expert on the intersection of faith and sport. He's the holder of the Harold and Dottie Riley Assistant Professor of Practical Theology at Baylor's George W. Truett Theological Seminary, the director of the Sports Chaplaincy and Ministry Program at Baylor, and the faculty director of the Faith and Sport Institute, which is an eight-day retreat at Baylor for high school youth. He's been featured in Sports Illustrated, The Wall Street Journal, and USA Today, on CBS, and today here on Baylor Connections. Dr. White, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here, Derek.
It's good to have you here. And just to start off, it's good for me to have a fellow Hoosier on the program. You and I, both from Indiana and from chatting with you, grew up not so far away from each other. So good to have another Indiana native here in Texas with us.
Likewise.
Well, it's good to have you here today. And an interesting topic that I'm excited to talk to you about, the intersection of faith and sport. And, you know, you think about that intersection, it goes way, way back. You think in the Bible, Paul exhorting the Corinthians to run in such a way as to take the prize. Of course, now if you watch a lot of sports, you hear athletes thanking God on television, post-game interviews. In various ways, that intersection has been there for a long time, and it's been your life's calling. What's compelling about that relationship to you that you've pursued it in this way?
Well, as you noted, sport oftentimes has been associated with religion and worship. In ancient Olympics, right? They paid homage to Zeus. They honored Zeus before the games. And although Christians don't want to get so caught up in sports that it becomes an idol, what I think is cool about sports is that there's something wildly attractive here, almost unstoppable, that gets at what it means to be human on levels that other activities do not. I mean, think about sports, how it viscerally engages us, sensuously, strenuously, not only the entire communities, but the whole person, mind, spirit, body, and will. And I think it's important for us as Christians to turn our attention to figure out what is going on here. What is so attractive? What is so beautiful there? And yet we also know that sport is a mishmash of good and bad. So what are some things we might want to help correct, renew, restore, redeem, so that sports can actually be played in such a way that it really does honor and glorify God?
Now, your sports background goes way back, and tell us a little bit about your athletic background, and are there moments from your own time that were particularly poignant in planting these seeds for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in Indiana, so early on, basketball was my game. It would have been not the same probably if I grew up in Texas, because football is the predominant sport here. However, I eventually transitioned to different sports, swimming competitively and also racing bikes nationally and internationally. And I think what began to happen in those two sports is I began to have coaches who were teachers or educators at heart, much like we hear about Coach Wooden and Baylor's very own Grant Taff. And my coaches instructed me beyond the wins and losses. Now, don't get me wrong. They were fierce competitors. They taught me that you want to win. But there's something more substantively going on in sports than just winning. And they were concerned about the kind of person that I was becoming. In fact, it was during my senior year that I was kicked off the swim team, unfortunately, because of some poor decisions I made outside of swimming. And this became a period of trial and self-examination, where before I used sports to hide from and to cope, not cope directly with some of my personal and familial challenges. And my coaches began to instill in me a trust. And in order to be a good leader, they taught me, it necessitates that I'm there for others and make important sacrifice so that others will grow and flourish. And what got me in trouble is that I was there more for myself. And so this coaching influence had me begin to think about other people than just John White. And in short, without even knowing it, they were mentoring me more in the whys behind the X's and O's of sports. And in order to be successful, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing just as much as how you're going to do it.
Those leadership lessons that he was planting in you when you were a young man, how much have you relied on those as an adult now?
Oh, I go back to them regularly. In fact, it's those kinds of examples that help instruct the way we parented our children in sports. I think every parent has positive examples and negative examples of coaches and athletic experiences. And so you have to kind of go back to that as a baseline to actually give you some kind of vision of how sports ought to be played.
Now, you know, talking about sports, we've heard it called in a lot of ways a secular national religion, and it certainly does have some hallmarks of that. What are some of the ways you've seen sports both positively impact the faith life of an individual or community, or negatively do so as well? Because I think even here in Waco at Baylor, we've seen both sides of that coin.
Yeah, so I'm reluctant to oftentimes give contemporary examples. And one, because those lives are still being played out. I want to be protective and careful of that. So I guess I would start with some historical examples. So I'm currently reading a book about Jackie Robinson, a spiritual biography. And in fact, we're going to be using excerpts from this book in our Faith and Sport Institute retreat for the youth that will be coming to really cast before them kind of heroes of the faith, those who have gone before them that have lived successfully and faithfully in the world of sports as Christians. And so there's an excerpt, if you don't mind me reading, from this book that I think kind of puts in perspective for someone like Jackie Robinson and offers a real good example for us today. The writer says this. It's a new book, too. It says, "Nobody in sports had more at stake, and no one ever suffered more than Robinson. Opposing pitchers threw at him. Opposing base runners spiked him. Fans screamed the vilest of racial epithets. He routinely received death threats. If he failed, he affirmed the belief of many whites that blacks were inferior. If he lost his temper, he affirmed the belief of those who thought blacks did not have the temperament to play white baseball. It was not enough for him to be good enough for the major leagues. He had to be better than most of the other players. He had to beat them at their own games, so to do with grace and dignity and equanimity. Through it all, Robinson remained steadfast, firmly convinced that God was guiding him, that God was on his side, and that God would sustain him. Trusting God as his constant companion, Robinson exemplified redemptive suffering on the baseball diamond. He turned the other cheek in the face of viciousness." And I like that because Robinson understood that if sports was a legitimate venue to exhibit his faith, then you had to be able to live out your faith in the way that Jesus talks about, for example, on the Sermon on the Mount. And so that's where it gets tricky sometimes when people think that sports is exempt or immune from Christian theology and Christian living, and we get ourselves into trouble. And so Robinson, I think, is an incredible example. Someone shortly before him, the first African-American woman, Alice Coachman, to win a gold medal was not Wilma Rudolph. It was Alice Coachman, and she won it in 1948. And she says that sports provided her a place to foster courage to face the opposition that she received as a woman, as an African-American. So there's a great example of seeing how faith and sports can work in tandem.
And before I turn the page on that excerpt you read from that book, it's Jackie Robinson, A Spiritual Biography. And who's that by, if people would like to look that up?
Michael Long and Chris Lamb.
Okay, so Michael Long and Chris Lamb, that excerpt from Jackie Robinson, A Spiritual Biography. Also, what are some of the impulses as you study sports from a theological perspective that you're looking maybe, I don't know, to harness in is the right word. You know, there's some very good character building traits, but there's also character aspects of sports that I think you have to work to better yourself in, to control.
Yeah, that's a great question. As far as some of the problems that I think can occur when we find faith at the intersection of sports is that we've left faith in the locker room sometimes, where it's more about a Bible study or a chapel or devotion before the game or giving glory to God after the game. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm an evangelical. I'm a Christian. I'm a professor at Baylor University. Those practices are good. However, I want to do a quick rewind of the play and say, how did your faith actually inform and transform how you actually treated the opponent? Did you find yourself thinking about the opponent in such a way that would be against or at odds with how Scripture portrays the opponent? In fact, the Scripture would not want us to use language like opponent. It'd want to be seeing the other person as a neighbor. And so you never want to hate another human being. You never want to use language that belittles or demeans another human being. You never want to use any kind of play or gamesmanship that actually puts the other person at a disservice, right? And so those are the kind of things that I want to start harnessing and say, okay, what does the gospel have to do with sports? And how can the gospel inform the way we play sports? And so that our attitude, our actions, our intentions, our motivations, our actions, right? Everything about what it means to inhabit these bodies, right? Exhibits the fullness of the gospel. And the motto we use, borrowed from other folks in our program, is that we want the whole gospel for the whole sports person, for the whole culture of sports. I realize it's a tall order, but there's a lot of people that are out there trying to do those kinds of things. So actually providing the education to deepen seminarians and Christian leaders and how to think carefully and thoughtfully about those things.
you know, there's one moment that when you were talking about in the field of play that I thought of going back. You may remember this in 2010, I believe it was, Major League Baseball game. Detroit Tigers had a pitcher named Armando Galarraga who had a perfect game through 26 of 27 batters. Do you remember where I'm going with this play?
Vaguely.
He gave up a ground ball last play of the game, or was going to be the last play of the game. They threw the base runner out. He had thrown one of the few perfect games in Major League history. The umpire blew the call, robbing him of a perfect game and his kind of spot in immortality. Fans were booing. Everyone's going crazy. And later on that evening, he and his manager publicly forgave the umpire, who robbed him of a chance at history, and urged the Detroit fans to respond with class. And they did. And I think that's one of those moments where human nature says, oh, you know, kill the umpire, almost,
that old phrase.
Or how could he do such a thing? And they urge forgiveness. And it seems like, I don't know if any of them are believers involved, but that just strikes me as a moment like what you're talking about.
Yeah, so sports, I mean, it's a bit of a trite way to put this, but I think there's some truth to it. It is a microcosm of life in many respects. It mirrors a lot of the moral, social issues, but also reproduces them. So here's an example where sports has both tragedy and comedy. In the gospel story, we know tragedy is horrific, right? And without the comedy, without the relief of God in Christ coming to this world, we would be stuck in our tragedy. And so here you have an example where a player and the manager are able to offer forgiveness. That's comedy because they don't really deserve it in many respects because it was a blown call, but it puts things in perspective, right? That these are humans making these judgments. They make mistakes. This is not God making this judgment. And so people are going to make calls. And how you respond to that probably says more about your character transformation or formation than anything else as far as your attitude and your disposition in moments like that.
Let's talk now about the Sports Chaplaincy and Ministry Program at Truett. Why did you see the need? Why is there a need for a focused postgraduate degree in this? And then would you tell us a little bit about the program?
Yes. Well, just as there in the field of hospital, military, and prison chaplaincy, there's a required knowledge and skills that one has to have. We think the same thing should be true in sports chaplaincy and ministry. In fact, there's a credentialing and certification that one has to meet in order to be a hospital prison chaplain. In the same way, we're creating a conversation and then the institutional standards, the educational standards, so that those requirements can be met. And it's not unusual to hear people say that they love God and they love sports, which I want that attitude. We welcome that for people coming to the program, but we equally want well-trained ministers whose work is grounded and informed by the theological and pastoral tradition, in addition to an in-depth knowledge of and experience of sports culture and the ability to establish deep and meaningful relationship with coaches and student athletes.
We are talking with Dr. John White. He's the director of the Sports Chaplaincy and Ministry Program at Baylor's Truett Seminary. And tell us a little bit about the student studies. What are kind of the topics that you study? What do the classes look like?
Okay, so there's four courses that are part of the concentration, and we're starting a certificate program for the MDiv in the next year. And each course really develops a particular pillar. So for the first course, it's an introduction to theology and philosophy of sports and ministry. And that establishes the theological pillar, the cultural, and the ministerial pillar that the other courses will pick up in depth. The other course is a theological ethics of sports, a sports chaplaincy course. That's the skill, pastoral care component of chaplaincy. And then finally, the last course is the integration of faith and sports. And that is done in conjunction with the Faith and Sport Institute that we're launching this summer. And that's a hands-on practicum that they begin to really coordinate the heads, heart, and hands that they get in class as far as experience and leadership, administration, and youth ministry in this class at the retreat itself.
You talk about that retreat, the Faith and Sport Institute. I know there's going to be a lot of high school students coming to campus this summer. What is that going to be? What is the Faith and Sport Institute, and what will they be experiencing there?
Yeah, great question. The Faith and Sport Institute, you can go online and actually Google to find out more information about this and just do Truett Faith and Sport Institute or Baylor. And it is set in a context of 8 days. We invite young athletes to come in, juniors, current going into junior and senior year, and we want to create an environment where they can ask the big life questions, and what does that mean in the context of sports? Deepen their integrity, spiritual leadership, and then help prepare them to run the race of life, not just the race of sports, but the race of life. And the kinds of things we're asking are, who am I when I play sports? We really believe young people are formed in ways sometimes that can be destructive in sports. And so what we want to do is have them trade in their identity that says it's performance-based for a grace-based identity. A performance-based identity is always dependent or contingent upon the results or the scoreboard. And you're only as good as your last game. So if you find yourself being defined by that as far as who you are and your worth and value, you will have an up and down understanding of your worth and value. And so with a grace-based identity, it already says your identity has been it's accepted by God in Christ. You're loved, you're valued, and that stays with you before the game, during the game, after the game. And I find, because I've been teaching this stuff, this curriculum, to college and Olympic athletes, when an athlete really begins to discover this and apply this in their lives, they play sports in a different manner. They play sports not to get something, they've already gotten it. They don't play from a deficit, they play from a surplus. And there's this reckless abandonment, right? Because they have nothing to lose, and they can be there for other people. They can actually give advice to other people, right? Because they're not protecting or holding on to anything because it's already been determined before the game even started. And so when one really begins to understand that intrinsic motivation versus an extrinsic motivation, not only are they consistently living the Christian life, but they're really empowered to live for other people.
We are talking to Dr. John Wyatt from Baylor's Truett Seminary, and going back to the program a little bit, the students that you serve, what are some of the ways they serve both during the program and after graduation? How do they kind of live that out in the field?
Great. I'll just give some names of folks and where they're serving right now, because I think that's encouraging. Hector Casteltort serves as a communication coordinator with the MLS Houston Dynamo. And what is interesting about our program...
Soccer team,
exactly. What's interesting about our program is that a lot of folks come in here and they want to go into athletics administration or coaching or some role within an athletic organization, but they don't have the theological tools or the Christian worldview. So Hector is a great example who received those tools and those practices, and it's enabling him to do his job as a communication coordinator. We have Cameron Friend, who serves as the North Fulton, Georgia area representative for the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and assistant minister at Eagles Nest Church. We have Danny Price, a great story about her in Truett's fall edition of the Cord magazine, and she's an assistant softball coach and recruiting coordinator at McNeese State. And then we have Grant Rainey, who was in the program, and his wife, and now they're on staff with Athletes in Action. We have Ryan Saunders, who serves as a community life minister at Bonsig Baptist in Virginia, and he serves as the he leads the sports recreation ministry. And then we have international students that have come here. Named Stefan Gavor, and he's a student from Germany, and he's headed to work as a graduate assistant with a former soccer coach here at Baylor University.
So all different kinds of ways, some very specifically, you know, church related,
yep.
And some not.
Very so both in the church and alongside the church. And the ones that are alongside, that's really a burgeoning area. When I get quite excited about that area, because I think if we're really going to meet the needs of communities, we need to help people see how sports can be put to the service of addressing a lot of the problems in a culture, in a community. And so, yeah, there's a lot of good opportunities there.
Dr. White, as we head into the final few minutes of the program, the sports chaplaincy program is something that I think is, a lot of ways, it seems very uniquely suited to Baylor. How does Baylor's role as a leading faith-based institution that's also competing in the highest stages in sports, how does that shape the program, if at all?
Oh, it shapes it tremendously. There's that line where baseball's been very, very good to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will say Baylor's been very, very good to us. And, I mean, just starting with the Riley family who endowed the program chair, Harold Riley, who recently died, was an alumnus and played football at Baylor, and he generously provided the monies to start the sports ministry program. Another good example is that because we're embedded in a research university, the institutional resources, connections for collaboration are extraordinary. Andrew Meyer and the College of Health and Human Sciences is helping to run the research for our Summer Faith and Sport Institute retreat. And so that's a key component. And here's someone who's trained in the qualitative, quantitative research. And so he brings a real asset, a service to us. And it wouldn't have been found in a freestanding seminary. So being a part of Baylor University is significant. And then, of course, Baylor's athletic ascendancy makes for a greenhouse to grow up for the to grow up the next generation of Christian leaders in sports.
You know, and we've experienced some really high highs and low lows. Do you kind of use those real-world examples in the classroom?
We do, and I do that carefully because we could find those examples at any university. But I believe with integrity, we have to talk about it. It's kind of like the pink elephant. And so because Baylor has failed on some levels, we want to address those kinds of things. And it's not to point the fingers, it's saying, wait, how can we actually begin to negotiate and navigate the complex issues in sports so that we're morally and spiritually doing it well in a way that honors our Christian mission? And I think one of the challenges today is the win-at-all-cost mentality, which turns the athlete-coach-parent relationship into a transactional relationship versus a transformational relationship. And so getting young people, you know, help them understand that your value, as I indicated earlier, does not come from some kind of transaction that occurs here, that your value already has been determined by God. And so both the means and the ends need to be honoring to God. We can't just look towards to the wins or we end up manipulating sports and then it's detrimental to the lives of young people in sports.
Well, I think you really just answered my last question, which is talking about approaching sports in a healthy way, whether as parents, as fans, as players, as coaches. It is that relationship aspect, like you talk about, and not just putting the end result as the end all and the be all, even as you do pursue excellence in
right.
trying to win.
Excellent, yeah. And so we kind of have this paradigm that we use to help young people to see in our program and even when I'm working with parents. We call it the four C's of success, that in order for someone to play in a way that really glorifies God, I think you need to have these in place. It's one of competence. That's the one that everyone's familiar with, right? That's kind of that's the lowest common denominator, I think, for a Christian. We want to strive to be physically intelligent, right? But we also want character, compassion, and a sense of celebration. And then when you put the character in there, that's going to be the moral intelligence. The compassion is going to be the emotional quotient. And then the celebration is a sense that we're doing this unto God. There ought to be a sense of worship that occurs there. And I think Eric Liddell is a great example, as depicted in the classic film Chariots of Fire. You know, he talks about in the film, right? I don't know if he ever said this outside the film, but it makes for good quotation. He said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And I think there's something about that we should experience when we play sports that really connects us to God. And that's the celebration or worship side of sports that's fundamental to who we are as human beings.
Well, that's a great way to wrap things up, Dr. White. I appreciate your insights today and your thoughts. And if people would like to learn more about the program or about the Summer Institute, where can they go to find that out?
Well, they can go on to Truett's webpage, and you can look for Faith and Sport Institute. And about the program, it's the Sports Chaplaincy Ministry Program. And they're both on Baylor's under the tab of Truett Seminary.
All right. Well, people can check that out if they are interested. Well, Dr. John White, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Derek.
Appreciate it. It's great to have you on the program. Dr. John White, Assistant Professor of Practice Theology at Baylor's George W. Truett Theological Seminary and Director of the Sports Chaplaincy and Ministry Program here at Baylor. This has been Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. We thank you for joining us. I want to remind you that each week you can hear this program right here on KWBU-FM, archived online at baylor.edu/connections.